Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Van Pelt will be on with us at noon. Talked to him this morning, and he was headed out to the park to interview Jaden Daniels for Monday Night Countdown. So we'll find out from him how that went and get his thoughts on the team through 2 weeks and the NFL season, which, I mean, we had an incredible Sunday. We had 12 of 16 games decided by 7 points or less, including the Monday night game with Atlanta's comeback against Philadelphia. You just never know in the NFL. Week to week, things change dramatically. Joining us right now, we've had Dan on the show before, and he was excellent. He writes for the 33rd team, is Dan Pizzuta. Dan joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You can follow Dan on X, on Twitter, at Dan Pizzuta, P-I-Z-Z-U-T-A. So you wrote something yesterday that got our attention, and I think your conclusion is probably spot on, but I want you to explain to everybody the dropback pass attempt outside of the pocket numbers that you had on Jaden Daniels' first two games.
Sure, and thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on. So I think it's just kind of one of those things when you're looking at what Washington has been doing on offense so far this year. It's been basically a lot of screens and a lot of scrambles. And what Jaden Daniels has done, and it's been efficient. He's been using his legs as kind of one of the ways to create the big explosive plays. But I think one of the things, if you're kind of looking for what you want this offense to be a little more sustainable, I'd like to see him use his legs a little more to create something in the passing game and by actually attempting passes. And that was kind of something that went back to what he was in college. When Jaden Daniels starts to run, he's really looking to run. He's not one of these guys that kind of keeps his eyes down the field and is looking to have things open up down the field. So right now, through 2 weeks, Jaden Daniels has the third highest rate of dropbacks that end outside of the pocket, and that's either just like from scrambling or just kind of moving outside the pocket. But he has the third lowest pass attempts. So when he's getting out of the pocket, he's looking to run, not necessarily looking to pass the ball down the field. That's something that I think he needs to kind of just grow his game a little bit. There was a play, a big play to Zach Ertz in the second half against the Giants last week where that did open up down the field. But right now, just when he gets out of the pocket, he's looking to run. It's just to run. I think we kind of see, if you see like a Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, these guys who are scramblers and can run, but when they get out of the pocket, their first instinct is to still look down the field and try to create some of these big explosive pass plays and still throw when they're on the run. And Jaden Daniels, to this point, just through 2 weeks, has not really been doing that. So that's one thing I'd like to see him grow in the game a little bit.
Yeah, there is no doubt what you're describing is probably the single biggest emphasis, coaching point for Cliff Kingsbury with and the group they have with Jaden Daniels. There were a couple of plays, one in particular, if you watch the Giant game, the play in which he actually scrambled for 14 yards on 3rd and 13, he got the wind knocked out of him, had to sit out a play. That play in particular, Luke McCaffrey is wide open down the field, and he is still, as he has broken the pocket, he is still 6 to 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he never looked at him. And there was a play like that in the opener. My question to you would be, like, early in their careers, let's just take Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray as examples. Maybe Justin Fields as an example. Maybe Daniel Jones as an example. Guys that we know, you know, scramble and end up turn or extend plays and turn extension of plays into runs, but now also do it with their arm. Early in their careers, do you have any idea, and maybe you don't, if their pass attempt numbers, once they broke contain or broke outside the pocket, were similar to Jaden's?
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where, I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, but I know, like, from, you know, watching them, they have been, and even going, you know, back to college, and I think this is why it sticks out for Jaden Daniels a little more. This is also what he did in college, and obviously it worked in college. He won a Heisman. He was much faster than everyone, you know, in college. But I think when you go back to watching, you know, Lamar in college, Kyler Murray in college, even, like, if you look at someone like Anthony Richardson right now, he's very raw, but he is always still looking to pass when he is on the move also. So it is, I think, something that kind of instinctively has come from some of those players and guys like Lamar and Kyler specifically. It has always just kind of been an instinctual thing to be looking down the field. So that's just one of those things where I think it might just take a little bit, because Jaden Daniels hasn't really – he's never really had the necessity to be looking, because anytime he has run, it's really been successful, and it still has at the NFL level. Like, he has been a successful scrambler. That's kind of why this Washington offense is still going. If you look at expected points added per drive right now, Washington is third in the league. So this has been a successful
offense. They're third in EPA per drive?
Yes, because they have not turned the ball over, and they've scored on over half of their drives. That has right. been a lot of field goals. It's, you know, I think 46% of their drives have ended in field goals. So there's not a lot of touchdowns, but they have not been punting. There's been barely any three and outs, so that has helped. They're usually crossing midfield and getting into field goal position, and they haven't turned the ball over yet. So that is one of those things, I think, when you kind of look at what is going to be, you know, once they get into more traditional dropback and kind of have to pass a little more on, like, that's not going to be a sustainable way to play. And I think that's why you would like to see Jaden Daniels kind of be throwing the ball a little more when he is kind of out in the open and on the run.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think what you said, and even though I don't want to answer this, you can answer it, but when you were saying instinctual with some of the other guys when they were younger, I was asking the question wondering whether or not Lamar Jackson, if his attempts were super low after breaking contain early in his career, if Kyler was, you know, guys that play similarly maybe to Jaden, and maybe it's an experience thing that will come with more experience. But I actually do think it's more instinctual. And he did make throws at LSU on the run, but more often than not, he just decided the best way to move the sticks is with my legs. And so far through two games, that's been the case. I want to ask you who the best in the league is right now at breaking the pocket, extending the play, and then making a throw down the field, an attempt down the field, but have it be a successful attempt down the field?
What Kyler has done over these past 2 weeks has been incredible, and I think he's kind of been able to do that. I mean, I would probably say, you know, Josh Allen is probably that guy right now, and he just has kind of, you know, he has the crazy arm strength and the little bit of kind of crazy mentality where he is going to try some throws that probably a lot of other quarterbacks wouldn't. I think we saw that he had the deep pass to, I believe, Ty Johnson on Thursday night when he breaks the pocket, and he has a very clear just kind of first down that he could have picked up, but he goes for the big play. And I think what has made Josh Allen great is they're now getting some of those, you know, consistent down-to-down safe plays in that offense, but also he does the no one else should be making this throw, but I can type of thing. So I would say Josh Allen is one of those guys. Again, he's a guy who can scramble, can move, but is always trying to keep his eyes downfield and see if that big play is going to be happening out there. So I would say he's probably the best at it right now.
Dan, what would you say about the extension out of the pocket and the throw downfield in terms of the explosiveness and the success rate of that play versus an in-rhythm, on-schedule throw from the pocket?
Yeah, so I think kind of the in-schedule throw from the pocket, it's basically just a necessity. Right now, right? If you are a quarterback and you can't be working in rhythm, then I think that's kind of just disqualifying you from, you know, being able to play quarterback. You just kind of, you need to be doing that. What we see right now from the top guys in the league is they can, when things break down, still make things happen at a positive rate outside the pocket. You will get, you know, obviously the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens and those types of players. They just have that ability to create something outside of the pocket and make that work. So it is just kind of a trait that's almost necessary to keep this, because you can't, the offenses in the league are not going to be working in rhythm 100% of the time. So you kind of need something that's going to be able to counter. And we've seen the best players in the league have been able to kind of do things when things break down. And I think, you know, right now when you look at Jaden Daniels, he does have that scrambling ability. You just kind of want to see that just kind of click a little more. And so it's just one of those things where if you are going to be one of those better quarterbacks in the league, you just need something that you do bring to the table when things are going to break down in the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get at is I intuitively, without having any numbers to back it up, I would say the majority of the explosive pass plays come from quarterbacks who have gone off schedule. And the reason for that is obvious, and that is you just can't cover that long, you know?
Right.
If you're given 2 to 3 seconds to cover with a drop back and a rhythm in schedule throw, some of those plays are explosives, especially the shots on off play action. But it just seems to me that the majority of explosive pass plays come off schedule. I just don't have any sort of quantitative data to back that up, but I'm wondering if you think that would be true.
It probably is, you know, it's similar. So right now I'm kind of pulling up some numbers, and the explosive pass plays from in the pocket and outside the pocket over the past 2 years is almost exactly the same.
Okay.
But like you said, when you have the ability to create those explosive plays outside of the pocket, and I think you'll see something when you have a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or, you know, one of those quarterbacks, when you have the ability to create the explosive plays outside of the pocket, that is when the ceiling of the offense rises, right? I think you look at like a Jared Goff, kind of like we saw last week. If things start to break down for him, he's great. He can create those explosive plays in the pocket, but things start to break down, that lowers the ceiling of the offense because he's not someone who's going to be creating on his own. So even though, you know, when you look at the explosive play rate is about the same, it's very different in how those kind of plays are created and what the ceiling of the offense is, and the wider range of the ways that you can create explosive plays. So I'm sure if we, you know, break it down, I'm sure, you know, the Mahomes and the Allens and stuff, they have bigger explosive play rates outside of the pocket than they might have inside the pocket. So you kind of look at, you know, comparing to, you know, a quarterback like Jared Goff, who is, you know, very good. You can win with him. But again, if you were creating those explosive plays outside, that's when you have, you know, you're really working with something, and you just, there's a bigger margin for error also in the offense. And I think that's how we're seeing some of these better offenses in the league kind of make their way forward.
We're talking to Dan Pizzuta from the 33rd team. This is interesting stuff. I don't want to get bogged down with this because I have other stuff to ask. But I actually, you know, in thinking about that, this, you know, as you're talking, it's like, look, we previously to the last, say, 5 years, we had quarterbacks that were not extend the play quarterbacks outside of the pocket, but they were exceptional at extending inside the pocket. Brady's an example of that. Peyton's an example of that. Roethlisberger would be somewhat of an example of that. And I know what you're talking about with what you put together, pass attempts outside of the pocket. That is when the quarterback gets outside of the pocket. But there are still quarterbacks who are able to create extra time, extended time, inside the pocket with really good feel and really good footwork, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, some of those guys are still the same, but I think if you look at, like, a Geno Smith right now, he's not, you know, the most mobile guy. He's not going to be, you know, taking some of these, you know, zone reads that some of the other quarterbacks are. But what he's done managing the pocket over the past, you know, couple years, especially with an offensive line that has been injured, it still has not been great. I think you look at what he did Sunday against the Patriots, when they're just, you know, throwing a whole bunch of stuff at him, but he's still moving in the pocket. You have that, like a C.J. Stroud. He is able to move, but still does most of his work kind of manipulating the pocket.
Yeah, right.
You definitely still have those kinds of guys. And I think when you, like, are looking at a, or, you know, raw type of player, that's why I still like what Anthony Richardson could potentially be. He is this gigantic, fast, just human being. But what he does in the pocket actually is, I think, really special. And just he has that innate feel where he is able to maneuver the pocket too. So I think you absolutely still do need things like that. So where there are not players who are just strictly relying on athleticism and fleeing the pocket. So you definitely do need that type of pocket manipulation to avoid pressure and still create things while you are in the pocket and inside of structure.
The Anthony Richardson thing is interesting because, like you said, he is just one of the most physical-looking, freakish quarterbacks we've ever seen. I mean, it's Cam-like, but he's probably more athletic than Cam. And you talked about, and I think it's interesting, that he can hang in there in the pocket and manipulate the pocket. He's also very strong in the pocket. But I think right now the issue with him is just, okay, he can create more time in the pocket if he has to, but is he processing and reading and getting it to the where it's supposed to go accurately enough? And will that ever improve enough for him to be more than just, you know, a dual threat guy?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think right now he does have a fairly wide margin for error because he can just make throws that almost like no one else can. What you saw in week one, I'm not sure if anyone else is making the long touchdown throw that he did. So you can kind of work with that a little bit. I think we saw this past week when you're asking him to carry a little bit more of the traditional drop back game in a high volume, that's when things start to get a bit iffy. But I think if you kind of look at his process, he is always doing the right thing. I don't think he gets fooled a lot. So that is also one of the things that I do like about him and still have some optimism going forward. Sometimes the feet and everything aren't on the same trajectory. And that's kind of where some of the struggles have come and where some of the accuracy issues have come from. So there are always going to be some sprays, but if you can, you know, mix in some of the big plays that he has, I think it just gives you the bigger margins for error with the down-to-down accuracy. Like, if you look at Patrick Mahomes, like, on a down-to-down basis, he's not, you know, the most accurate quarterback in the league, but because he has throws in his bag that other quarterbacks just don't, the margin for error is much wider. That's what Josh Allen has gotten to this point too, and he's been able to develop that accuracy, you know, throughout his career. So I think Richardson still is kind of on that trajectory. If he can, you know, make some of those slight changes, work on his footwork a little bit. But when you kind of look at what he's doing in the pocket, I do believe he does mentally understand what he's doing. He doesn't look like this quarterback that is, you know, overwhelmed when things are happening fast. It's just some of those sprays are just a little mechanical, but I think that is an issue that can be fixed going forward, just giving him a little bit more time to play.
One more on this, back to sort of the, you know, break, contain, extend the play outside the pocket. You said it. I think that would be – I think Mahomes and Josh Allen would be the two quarterbacks that probably come to mind initially for any NFL fan on the success that they have extending the play and throwing the ball down the field. The numbers, I guess, sort of back that up. Who would be the next best after those two? I'm curious as to whether if that's an opinion thing or you have the numbers on that, because I think there are several. Like, I was thinking about, okay, after those two, in watching football, who's really good at doing that? I actually have an answer, and but I want to hear yours first.
I mean, there are a couple of guys who have still been pretty good at breaking the pocket. I mean, this year, again, it's been Kyler. I think Stroud still, when he gets outside the pocket, is still making things that happen. I'm curious to be who your answer would be.
I think Jalen Hurts, when he gets outside the pocket, he does keep his eyes down the field, and a lot of his big throws come that way. In the same way that a lot of Russell Wilson's biggest throws, in part because of his size, and he didn't see it from the pocket. But I would think Jalen Hurts would be up there in success rate after outside the pocket throws down the field.
Yeah, Hurts has been in a similar thing to Wilson, where he does not instinctively read the middle of the field well. And that's just kind of been a thing for him going back to college also. So when he does get outside the pocket, some of those middle of the field throws, it does create a throwing lane there. He's always been good at, opening things up down the sidelines. And when he is on the move, he can make those types of runs. So yes, I would agree that he is kind of one of those guys. When he does break the pocket, he is still trying to, make something happen down the field.
All right, switching subjects. Does Bryce Young ever recover from this, first, 18 games or whatever, 19 games in Carolina?
Yeah, that's tough, because when you're looking at Bryce Young as a prospect of what he came in, you were kind of looking at some of the accuracy, some of the playmaking he was able to make. He was, one of those guys that when he did, break the pocket, it was, he was making things happen and looking down the field. And that just, it hasn't been the case in the NFL so far. I think you just kind of look at what he's done and, overwhelmed in the pocket. Things are happening fast. He's leaving clean pockets when he shouldn't. And, that the size, we've seen guys like a Russell Wilson, like a Kyler Murray, who have been able to make that work. But Bryce Young just hasn't been able to. I think you watch him and he looks and plays small so far. So the things you were kind of hoping that would translate from college to the NFL, they just haven't been there. And when those haven't translated, there's just not an overwhelming trait that's going to be able to carry him right now. So maybe he does, but I think that probably has to be somewhere outside of Carolina, where a fresh coaching staff and a complete fresh new start would be able to kind of take a 30,000 foot view and kind of try to figure out what can work for him, because there really hasn't been anything, really, like anything you could be able to hang your hat on to say this is something we can focus on right now and build on, because it just, at almost every level, it's kind of been a failure. He hasn't been helped out by the surroundings, but he also has not done a lot to make any of those surroundings better. And I think that's what you'd be looking for in a quarterback like that, especially one taken first overall. And there's just, I'm not sure what trait you can hang your hat on right now if you're looking at trying to fix Bryce Young.
All right, Dan Pizzuta from the 33rd team. Minnesota, New Orleans, Tampa. Who's legit and who isn't?
Ooh, that's interesting. I think Tampa has been doing some really good things. I like what they're doing in offensive scheme. I think they've kind of figured out what Baker does well. I think Baker Mayfield has been one of these guys that early on in his career, when he was uncomfortable in the pocket, he was fleeing and things kind of went wrong. Over the past couple years, he's been a guy who has been more comfortable in the pocket. Starting really last year, he was a guy who stood in the pocket and was managing that pocket kind of like we talked about earlier. He has become one of those guys who has been able to do that. That has continued this year, which I think is a good sign. I think there's some talent on defense that has started. I think the Saints have been crazy. What I want to see with the Saints before I truly believe in what they're doing is what happens when they're not in a big lead right now. There's been times over Derek Carr's career where he has had these stretches where he just says, okay, I'm going to throw the ball deep. And then we kind of see a reversion to the check down Derek Carr that we kind of get frustrated seeing. So once pressure starts coming and they have to run, in a more neutral game script, and it's not just, throwing deep off play action with a, 21-point lead, I kind of want to see what they're going to do then before I fully believe in the Saints. Now, this defense has been pretty good for a couple of years, and it seems they're still doing that, even though it's one of the older units in the league, and they've been helped out also by playing with such a big lead. They can play aggressive press coverage and be more aggressive in the pass rush, so that has certainly helped. I want to see what the Saints are going to be doing in a slightly tighter game script. The Vikings, I'm real interested in because that defense right now, Brian Flores was throwing some stuff out last year, but he didn't have the guys to really pull it off. They have the guys this year, and I think that defense is going to play really well. And I've always liked that offensive scheme, and I think this is one of those things where the scheme is good enough where you have the high-level plays that are going to be able to counter some of the bad decisions that Sam Darnold is going to make over the course of either a game or a full season. But I think when you kind of look at what his deep touchdown was, that's just trusting Justin Jefferson to be Justin Jefferson and splitting safeties when he probably shouldn't. So there are going to be big plays in that offense that I think are going to outweigh some of the bad decisions and bad throws that have kind of derailed Sam Darnold earlier in his career. I just think structurally, this offense really has those in place. So, I'm not going to say Minnesota is going to be, leading the NFC North at the end of the year. But if we're looking at teams that I think could be the better than we thought, I think Minnesota could be, one of these wild card teams, just because I like the structure in place on both sides of the ball.
Great job, Dan. Really appreciate it. Really interesting stuff on sort of the quarterbacks who are making the plays when they break out of the pocket versus those that don't. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Hope you're well.
Yeah, thanks. So always a fun time having me on. Thank you.
Dan Pizzuta, everybody, from the 33rd team, writes for the 33rd team.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Dan Pizzuta. We'll do NFL buy and sell when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.